You're listening to Go On with Jess Leach, part of the Treehouse Lifestyle Network. Go On is a weekly chat with interesting people on the topics of style, food, design, and the like. On this episode of Go On, I'm talking to Angela Melchiano, an artist, educator, and co-owner of Enamel, which is a workshop and studio space in Tower Grove. Angela's interests range from designing a meditation series at the Pulitzer to her latest work with Shibori, which is a Japanese tie-dye. Angela, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
So let's talk about Enamel and what it is, where it came from, how you got there.
All right. Well, Enamel is located in Tower Grove South. And we have the good fortune to be right across the street from Local Harvest. So we are in there a lot. But also, it's just a good spot to kind of orient people, to tell people where Enamel is. So Enamel started actually 2 years ago. It was a studio space and sometimes gallery of two of my friends and former students who are alumni of the MFA program at WashU. And they had a bunch of things going on. They both had kids right about the same time, both one-year-olds, and Enamel was just getting to be too much for them. So I sat down with Kristen, one of the studio rental people. I sat down with Kristen and I said, I really want to do something with this space. I don't know what, but when you guys leave, I want to take it over. So my friend Carly and I were doing yoga teacher training together, and she was looking for a studio space too. So it just happened to work out that we both signed on for the space together, not really knowing what we wanted it to be. We offered yoga classes there for a time. And the one thing I knew that I didn't want it to be was a traditional gallery space. I really wanted it to be something that people could come in and learn and experience things with their hands, as people who were going to engage with something and not just come in and look at artwork and then leave with, you know, nothing taken with them. So for a long time, I was working in the space on paintings and things like that. And then it's been a recent development that I've offered workshops there. And one of the first things we did at Enamel was have a Shibori workshop with an artist who was visiting, a visiting artist at the Craft Alliance named Kelsey Wiskirchen. And she's the person who taught me Shibori initially. And it was a beautiful summer workshop. We had Shibori out in front of the space on like a clothesline. It was really amazing. And the process of it, as someone who's always really, really loved craft and really been interested in processes that involve surprise or this kind of like magical element, which Shibori does, or indigo dyeing does, I think that I was really taken with it. So I picked up on and expanded on what Kelsey taught us for that first workshop, and it's something that I've been doing a lot of in my own work now. So we offer classes in Shibori and indigo dyeing, and also we have a lineup of classes in fiber art, so knitting and crochet and things like that.
So what made you want to open the space, not just have it as a studio space for you, but as a place where people could come and learn these, craft is not the right word, because it is, Shibori is an art form, and you're just learning it on a smaller scale, a more approachable scale, if you will.
Yeah, I mean, craft is a funny word. It's kind of like a four-letter word in some ways. Like, I come from a fine art background, and it's like, fine art is somewhere, like, way up here, and I'm, like, gesturing with my hand really high, and, like, craft is someplace that's, like, down really low with, like, the acrylic yarn and things like that. But I think that something that Carly and I were both really interested in when we started out is this idea that, like, there's a huge DIY movement right now, which is really awesome because it's empowering for people. But at the same time, I think it creates this kind of false impression that anybody can make anything anytime. And I think that because of that, a lot of times there's kind of this, like, information gap about materials or, like, how a process really works. So Carly and I wanted to open up the space and say, you know what, you can learn how to do this. You absolutely can. But you know what? There's people who are really, really good at it, who spend a lot of time on it. And also, you know, here are some things that are considerations when you walk into making something. And in turn, that would give people the idea that, like, yeah, you can do things yourself, but also, you know, there's a lot of time and care that goes into making things, and to give people the gift of, like, respecting and appreciating those kinds of things. I think that a lot of what I see sometimes in the art world is people go in and there's kind of this barrier between them and the work. They're like, I don't know what this is saying. Like, I don't know what the hell's going on here. And they go away with kind of this, like, dissatisfied feeling. But if you get people into a space, you actually put the materials in their hand and you teach them about the process and you tell them the story, then they walk away having engaged with that and having that experience. And I think that more than anything, giving people that experience is really valuable.
I think it's great that you guys are bringing in these artists to, by trade, are working with the dyes and the fibers and teaching, you know, how to arm knit, which mm-hmm. is not necessarily what they were educated in and what their skills are in, but it's something fun using fibers. And what I also love about enamel is that you guys are not only educating on the process, but on the materials mm-hmm. and how to find materials that are well-made materials and not, what's the word I'm looking for?
I think there's easy and then there's informed. So it's like, it's really easy and it's also really economical to go to like a big box store and get like acrylic yarn. And there's nothing really wrong with that. But there's also this idea of like being informed and kind of knowing just, it's really simply like where things came from. So it's kind of the difference between like white flour and like whole wheat flour. I mean, that sounds really crunchy, but I think what I mean by that is like I started to get back into knitting and I really learned a lot about what happens with wool. For example, in Australia, a lot of their wool gets sent to China to be processed. It has this whole kind of crazy journey. It's not actually processed in the country. And that was really interesting to me because it's like, what happens along the way? Like, what resources are getting used? Where are these things going? So when I have workshops at Enamel, it's really important to me that things are, like, their journeys trackable. Is that a word? Trackable?
Yeah.
That I know where these things came from, essentially. And I think that's important for people. And I think that that's part of this idea of, like, We are consumers, and I think that has kind of an inevitability to it. I mean, but I think you can choose how you participate in that system. And what I mean by that is you can choose how informed you are, and you can choose what things you use. So I think that a lot of DIY and a lot of craft ends up being very throwaway. I think it's kind of like, buy this kit, make this project really quick, and it's either not going to last or maybe it won't be something that you're totally proud of because the materials and the skill level aren't there. So I think that something that I like to offer to people and draw out of people is this investment in their materials, knowing where they come from, and creating an atmosphere of kind of like a slower DIY where people aren't like, you know, let's just bust this out. Look what I made. But I learned this new skill that I can then either pass on or make something really, really amazing that becomes an heirloom piece or something that they're super proud of. And I think that that's part of the teacher in me. I think that I always think about the long term. And I think it's been hard for me to do things like really, really quickly or just like want to see this immediately. And as much as I am in love with like social media and feeds and all of those things, I think a slow approach is a really good one. And I think that helps bring craft out of the four-letter word realm or something people look down on to a place where it's more about like an artisan approach to things. And I think we're really seeing a renaissance of that in our culture.
Oh, absolutely. And I like what you're doing where you're bringing it to more than just the people who are pursuing that on their own, but you're bringing it in a class form so I don't have to go out and buy, you know, tons of yarn to make mm-hmm. a weaving. I can come take a class and you'll have the materials there.
Yeah.
And I, you know, there, you've really thought about the materials going into it. So I'm educated and I'm informed about the materials I'm using, but it's on a smaller scale than me having to like go do all of that myself.
Yeah, it can be really daunting, I think, to go out there and kind of try to figure out on your own. And it's nice to come into a place where someone's done that legwork for you and you can trust that they are putting that experience together for you
yeah.
in a wholesome way.
So do you have classes coming up at Enamel that you want to talk about?
Yeah, absolutely. So our classes run on a Thursday to Saturday schedule. So Thursday evenings, we have a 6 to 8 class, and we have been running fiber-based classes on those nights. And the series that we do is a knit purl series. So in that series, there's knit purl, make a bow, there's knit purl, learn cables, and we just introduced knit purl washcloths. So you can make your own washcloths, which sounds really basic, but it's actually like, it's a really cool kind of thing to give away as a gift and things like that. And then our Friday classes, we do what's called a Shibori Happy Hour. And the Shibori Happy Hour is a really awesome intro session to Shibori, which is the Japanese tie-dye, and our indigo vat. So you come in, register for the class beforehand, you get a silk scarf to dye, and we have tons of fabric for you to mess around with. So before you get to like your scarf, you can try some designs and see what happens. The cool thing about Shibori is it's really forgiving. Like, you kind of can't screw it up. Like, no matter what you put in the bath, it's going to come out and look really lovely and be an awesome surprise. So, and then Saturdays, we do another fiber-based class, and that's pretty much the schedule regularly. So if you check on our site, you can see what we offer within those time slots and go from there. And we're looking in the future to bring in some artists to do longer workshops in frame loom weaving and anything else we can kind of get our hands on to bring people. Love to work local, but also there's some amazing people who are doing things outside of the city that I'd like to engage with the community here as well.
That's great. So is there anything else you'd like to share about Enamel or about St. Louis or about the craft movement or the artists that you've seen come out of it? You were telling me about a student at WashU who is doing this very cool sewing art that mm-hmm. you had held a happy, was it a happy hour or was it a workshop?
It was like a Saturday workshop, but we actually, that's a great example of some of the things that we do that are kind of like event style things. So I worked with one of my students who runs a business with a friend of his called Westminster Press, and he has this sewing machine that you can kind of like drop this part of it out. So instead of sewing straight, you can freeform sew. So he did this Valentine's Day event with us where he sewed portraits like of couples, and then we did one of my dog because my fiance refused to be in one. And they're kind of wonky and cute and endearing, and it was just a really fun thing to see. And another thing we're doing in April, this will be April 18th and 19th, is we're working with a business called New Form, and they are going to do a pop-up and sample sale of their knitted goods. And I'm saying they, but it's actually one person. She's doing a pop-up of her knitted goods, and we're going to have an event on Saturday night and then a longer pop-up on Sunday. So really looking to highlight like contemporary makers and crafters within the space as much as I can.
Yeah, it's funny that you bring up contemporary makers, because when you say knitting, I think of my grandma sitting, you know, on the couch with her needles and like knitting
totally.
This, like, I don't know, pot holders. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know what grandma's knit. But that's kind of the idea that I have of knitting. And you're talking about all of these knitting classes, and I'm over here kind of cringing a little bit, like, oh, knitting. But then I saw the arm knitting that you guys have done.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, just some of the other, classes that you guys have hosted, and, mm-hmm. you're making knitting cool.
Thank
for somebody
you.
who doesn't
single-handedly
single-handedly Enamel is making knitting cool. But you guys are. And so talk about this, like, when you say contemporary knit, talk about how it's different from grandma, knitting you that Christmas sweater that you'll never wear.
You know, it's really funny because it's like, contemporary crafting really has a sense of, like, play and fun to it. I mean, I just inherited, like, I think probably, like, 60 granny squares of, like, plastic yarn from my grandmother, who taught me how to knit. So I'm really grateful. But at the same time, like, that generation of knitting is just, like, it's not where we want to be. And I think that the newer scene in knitting is younger and really, really playful and more about, let's see what we can do with this technique, and not as this sort of, like, utilitarian, you have to make a granny square type thing. So it's really, it's about breaking boundaries, which sounds, like, really hokey. But, like, I'm thinking specifically of New Form's work and what she does. It's this pattern-based, very modern garment making that is just really, it's something you want to wear, and it's something that you'd see, you know, at, like, a capsule show or something like that. So, and then there's also this movement, which I think is really interesting, where a lot of people who are, you know, their day jobs are in design and things like this, like, they have these sudden urges to, like, open a farm or something like that. So I don't know what it is about, like, our generation in particular, but there's this impulse to kind of, like, go back to these values that, you know, of slow making and designing and really owning, doing things with your hands.
I think we saw it first in, like, that slow food movement.
Oh, yeah.
But it's kind of catching on, at least in my world, to the making and, you know, seeing makers, you know, slow down and really go from hand, like, making things from hand, mm-hmm. Which is exciting.
Yeah.
I think it's, you also brought up these designers who are wanting to, you know, quit their day jobs and go move to a farm and, you know, raise cows. And it's funny that they would come from one background and choose something that they have never done before. And, you know, maybe it's grandpa's farm and so they were raised on it. Mm-hmm. But really, like, jumping into something that they know nothing about. And my mom and I were having a conversation about what I wanted to do. And, you know, I just turned 20.
Mom conversation.
I just turned 26 and, you know, she's like, Jess, what are you going to do with your, like, what is it? What's the big picture? And we don't have to have a big picture anymore. Like, my honest answer to her was, I don't know. I'm going to do this for a while. And then maybe I'm going to do something else completely different.
Totally.
I want to try as many things as I can try while I can try them. So, like, maybe I will move to a farm. And start raising cows.
And I think that that's, like, that's really empowering. It's also terrifying at times. I think, like, and I'll share this story just because I think it's relevant. Like, I was in, I mean, I'm still in academia. Like, I do teach. But I was on this, like, track. I was like, I am going to be an assistant professor. Like, I put on the pencil skirt and went to, like, the campus interviews. And I did all of these things. And through, like, it just random things, like a search was canceled or, like, they didn't. So years and years and years of kind of, like, not having that work out, suddenly I was thrown off my track. And just by being thrown off that track, I came into this place where I had to embrace letting go of, like, not being in control of that. And it was really kind of freaky because even though I've always been an artist and a maker, there was always this thing, like, you have to have something to do to support your art. Like, your art is not going to pay for what you do. And, you know, a big part of enamel has been, like, this kind of, like, utilitarian thing where it's like, you know how to knit, see if people will pay you to teach them how to knit. It's like, you know how to do shibori now, like, you know, maybe you don't know quite as much as your teacher, you know, as Kelsey taught me, but, like, you know enough to teach other people, so try teaching them that. And it was really this kind of crazy thing to have happen, to try those things, and also really, really terrifying, because I mean, enamel's doing really, really well. Like, the neighborhood has been so supportive of us, and
That's great to hear.
Like Tower Grove South, like they rallied. Like I just joined their group on Facebook and they like, I was like, hey guys, I have the studio of weight classes and like 80 likes and like all of these comments. They were like, welcome to the neighborhood. I was like, this is amazing. I should have done this sooner. I just didn't know the group existed. So just from there, like it's been taking off and seeing that, I mean, you know, you asked earlier about St. Louis. It's like, St. Louis is a good place to, like, fall on your face and, like, get back up again, I think. It really allows you a lot of freedom to, like, figure out what it is you want to do. It was interesting because I was having a conversation with someone about some of the bigger cities that graduates are often encouraged to go to. Like, some of my students are like, should I move to New York? I'm like, we can do whatever you want, like, move to New York. But this friend was saying, she's like, you know, New York is not a place to figure out who you want to be. Like, it's a place, if you know what you're going to do, you go there and do it. It's too expensive and too big and too confusing to, like, figure out what to do when you get there. But St. Louis, on the other hand, she said, she brought up a good point. Like, these smaller cities where it's inexpensive to live, you can really experiment and play and figure out what it is you want to do.
Well, I think St. Louis is great for that because the creative community here is amazing. There's a lot of it, and once you tap into a little bit of it, the rest kind of just flows out.
Yeah, it's like, I was just going to make a really bad analogy about a maple syrup tree.
I was thinking about tapping into a tree when I was saying that.
I'm so glad you were with me on that one, because I was like, don't say maple syrup. It's too late. But yeah, I thought because you tap
pancakes.
In and then it's like, I know.
With whole wheat crunchy flour.
Seriously. Only nothing refined. No refined flour.
Well, thanks for being here today, Angela, and talking to me. Where can we find you on Twitter?
We tweet, I'm using the royal we. I tweet at Enamel Project. That's our Twitter handle. And we are on Instagram at the Enamel Project. There's underscores between the letters or the words. And
this will all be in the show notes.
Yeah.
For you guys too. And then they can visit the website, which
is... Yes, please visit the website. It's theenamelproject.com.
And they can sign up for classes through that?
Yeah, we have all of our classes listed there. There's a register section. You can enter online. Enter online? Like it's a contest. You can sign up online. And the other thing we're doing right now through the end of March is running a special if you sign up for our newsletter. You can get 15% off registration for a workshop.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Great. Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
Produced by Hug Monster Sound at Shock City Studios. And thank you for listening. Check out cityinajar.com for more stories and for bonus content from this episode. You can tell me what you thought on Twitter @JessLeach. And listen in next week when I ask someone else to go on.